Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and greetings, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of the Psychic Inside Show. My name is Joelle, and I am the Vibrarian. I'm your host here on the Vibrary Radio Network, and each week I sit down with people who have opened up to their psychic gifts and abilities, and I have an opportunity to have a conversation with them about what their journey looks like. I believe that everyone is psychic, and you just may not recognize what you've been experiencing, and that by hearing these stories that people come on and share every week, you will hopefully find something in their journey that maybe triggers something in you to help you realize some of your gifts and abilities that have been previously unexpressed for you. So the Psychic Inside Show is every Tuesday evening. You can listen live here on Blog Talk Radio on blogtalkradio.com/thevibrary. You can also give me a call during the show to the line, which is 646-668-8988. If you have any questions for the guests of the evening, please feel free to press the 1 key and let me know that you would like to come on the air to ask a question. Now, I know that some of you from time to time listen because we do on-the-air readings. I just wanted to let you know that we will not have a reading segment this evening in the show, so we'll be taking questions about the caller's interview only and no readings for tonight only. But I do want to invite you to connect with me in the community that I'm created. I like to call it the Good Vibe Tribe because we really do. Our vibe attracts our tribe. And in my Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, I'm bringing together a network of people that are all about trying to elevate each other, empower each other, and enlighten each other to provide support on this journey of ours. Now, you can find me on all of those channels with my handle. That's the Vibrarian, at the Vibrarian, T-H-E, V as in vibration, I-B-E as in energy, R-A-R-I-A-N. If you have some picture that you want to spread, if you have an article that you would like to get out there, a success story or a learning lesson, please feel free to tag me or send me a direct message on any of those platforms because I would love to pass on your energy to those that I am connected to. Now, this week I'm really excited about the show because our guest of the evening is just a magnificent goddess energy, and I really don't have any better way to describe her. I would like to welcome and introduce you all to Kalina. I mean, you really have gotten to this point where you're kind of like a single name expression. And so, Kalina Malner, I want to welcome you to the Psychic Inside Show tonight.
Hi, Joelle. Thanks for having me back. You described me as a goddess energy, and everybody here in my from all the different dimensions that are sitting in the room with me are laughing.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And Katumi just cracked the whip. So,
well, this is wonderful. It's not every day that I get to sit down with a whole host of beings through the guests that I have on the show, and I'm really excited tonight. Now, by way of background, you've been on the Vibrary Radio Network before because you were one of the guest panelists on an episode that I had a few months ago on the Vibrarian Show where we were talking about twin flames. And honestly, yeah. I can say to my audience that I know overall very little about you and your background, but I feel like I know a lot about you because I attended a workshop that you and your other co-host for your radio show, Vibrations of Love, Debbie, you came on my show and you shared a bunch of wisdom with our listeners, and that episode is up on YouTube. And I know that you are a twin flame way shower, which is how I came to discover you. But as I got into looking at your materials on your website and your YouTube channel, you really are just working with everyone's energy to help them elevate, as you say, to their highest selfhood. So how did you come into being such a light and forward voice in this whole ascension journey for people?
It's been a long journey. Oh my gosh, I've been awake since I was really little. I can remember angels, and I remember what people would call trolls, you know, seeing them like coming out of the closet and stuff, and they weren't negative energy. They were just, you know, beings from the other dimensions. And I remember the unicorn realm. I remember all that stuff. And I used to draw that stuff, you know, because I would see it. So I would draw it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going way up. I have been awake forever, not fully awake, you know, when I was that young. Because you tend to shut things down when people start to place paradigms on you and stuff, you know, that
mm-hmm.
things aren't real
mm-hmm.
and things. So I went through the journey. And it was, I'm being squeezed right now by an angel. I went through the journey my whole life, up and down, up and down. And I was very quiet. I was a quiet person for most of, I would say most of my life. I was more, people would call me conservative, but I was just quiet because I would just tend to look at other souls and listen to them. To understand them, but I would also in my mind wonder why people acted the way they did, or when I was little, I was always wondered why children were did such silly things, and then I found out all these teachers and everything started calling me an old soul when I was little. I even have it on one of my old report cards. The teacher wrote on there that your daughter is a wise old soul. I've always been awake, and I went through a lot, I went through some illnesses as a child too that had me down for a long time, that actually when I was done with them, when I came out of them, I felt different. I actually felt lighter as a child, but it wasn't something that, you know, for me, it was something that you just had because you were sick. You didn't understand the changes that were happening when you were little. And into my teens, you know, I had mono, and I remember coming out of my, I remember being in a different conscious state when I had mono, know, being like feeling like floating and really high then. So all through my life, I had different things happen to me as I was going through my ascension. So it started, I mean, I'm 50 years old, so it started very young. And that's what thank you, Katumi. Katumi saying way showers are awake their whole life. We learn from the beginning. Thank you, Katumi. He's talking to me at the same time. And then there are the people that have like really awakened in some way. Some started to awaken in the late 90s, but 2012 was a big awakening for people. Just through the process, learning and going, as I grew in my physical being, I was always connected to the other side. I would have visions, or I'd have flashes in my third eye of things. I would know when some things were going to happen, and some pretty prominent things. I even knew this year, I don't even know when the election was because I don't have a TV, but my daughter came over and said, Mom, this person and this person's running for president. And I laughed and I said, well, Trump will win. And she looked at me and dropped her jaw, and she said, how do you know? And I said, because I just heard it. She was like, okay. And I said, make sure you tell your dad. And that ended up, he won. So, I mean, it's just a connection. Just always been open, and I've become more open as I focused on my journey in the last, probably since 2004, when Katumi actually started writing through me and speaking to me as I connected with him. So,
okay. I want to come back to Katumi here in just a moment, but I wanted to find out more about, in your early years, were you in an environment in your family or your home where your the things that you were experienced, were they received? Were other people in your family sensitive or in their gifts at a, at, you know, or were you alone in your kind of experience?
Of my brother and sisters, from what I know, I was the only one. I really didn't have anyone to talk to, but my dad sometimes, it was very rare to get a quiet moment with my dad. There were 9 kids in the family, so it was very rare to have, you know, a moment with him. But I remember him coming over to me one time and sitting next to me outside on this front stoop, and he said a couple of things to me about seeing angels and things, and about some things that you just would never think that you can talk to a parent about, who is pretty much like a strict Catholic person. And when I look back now, I realize that he was awake. Some of the things that I look back and see that he did, how he only believed in organic gardening and things like that, like not putting chemicals on things because of the government, blah, blah, blah. And this was back in the 70s and 80s. I knew, as I look back now, that he knew, but he didn't display it or talk about it. And, you know, that happens when people live in fear. So, you know, fear of what everybody else is going to think of you. So I had no one really that I talked to or shared any of it with at that time. Mm-mm.
And as you entered your teenage years, a lot of psychic people say that they go through a phase of really repressing because of the pressures of becoming a teen person, and either they withdraw because they're so empathetic and the environment is very, you know, filled with the drama and angst of teenage energy, or there's that rebellious parent kind of growing into your independence dynamic, and it seems like a lot of people wind up suppressing after puberty rather than blossoming. What was your experience as you got older?
For me, in my early teens, well, I always was an empath. I've always been an empath because I always felt negative energy since I was very young. And I remember, I do remember one of my brothers, some of his friends that would come over, and I could feel their negative energy at the front door. And it would make, like where the solar plexus is, you know, where your solar plexus is, I would feel nauseated and I would feel sick. And I could feel the vibrations from these people. So I picked that stuff up since I was very young. And in the teen years, like in middle school or junior high school and going into high school, I was, you know, in the beginning of puberty, I could really feel the negativity. I can feel anxiety from other people. I still do now. I just know how to deal with it now. But by the time I got into high school, I had gotten through a period of purification, believe it or not, that young, that I had gone through from probably like 14, 15. I probably went through this purification this couple years and was able to really bring myself into my light and turn from the person that was more fearful of allowing people to see my light. And actually turning and shining it, maybe when I was maybe 16, 17, starting to actually shine it and I was talking more to people. But I always had this thing, though, around guys, though, the masculine. So I couldn't, I had a lot of friends. I was friends with everyone. I didn't judge anyone. But that whole, for some reason, the masculine, I had some kind of dynamic going on there that I couldn't. Let's just put it this way. In high school, I did not get asked out on a date, okay? It was a big school, but from what I found out at my 10-year reunion was people were saying, you looked so much older than than you really were, or I was afraid of you. Your energy was, you were like, exuding this energy, and I was like, wow, I didn't even know it back then, I went through that slump. I was very I'm an empath, and but I started to learn how to control it a little bit. But then when my 20s hit, things changed again, so it was like each decade something happened.
Well, I was wondering if, I mean, I know that right now you are very devoted to light work, and you're doing workshops and private readings and teachings and videos and all manner of things. Were you ever doing a, what we would call 3D or traditional job as you entered in your early adulthood, or did you always just kind of go on this individual path?
You know, I did have, you know, jobs that I held for a while that I absolutely hated. I have to say, oh, I would get such headaches. I was doing administration and like accounting work and stuff like that. And I just, I didn't want to be there, but I live, you know, you live by yourself. You have to pay the bills and stuff. But my hands, since I was a little girl, always sweated and got really, really hot. So that was the healing energy that was coming through me. And I remember actually putting my hands on my cat. And my cats would just, like, fall to the floor and just be like, oh, my God, yeah, keep your hands there. So I knew that there was something, but I hadn't quite put my – I hadn't figured it out completely because I was shifting every decade. Something was shifting within me, and I was learning things as I was going, just that, you know, that each experience I was learning from, and there was something constantly changing. So yeah, I did have those jobs, and now with me being a fully open conduit and channel and healer, I'm a quantum energy healer, so everything is like boom, comes right through me. When I go to try be around people in like grocery stores, I can send the love vibration out to keep my try and keep myself up so that the negative energies don't bother me. But it is kind of being an empath. It is kind of it's frustrating sometimes when there's such negative people around, but all I can do is constantly send that love energy out from the heart space. And sometimes when I'm walking through the grocery store, the light language just comes out because there's somebody that's either so low in their vibration or they need a key. Since I carry certain key codes, they need a key to open their ascension or help them with their progress or whatever, and the light language would just come out, and I'd be like talking light language in the middle of the grocery store. So
right.
And I'm just being authentic. That's my authentic self. I'm not going to hold myself back anymore because people, you know, those that are judgmental that are still in the ego, you know, the false ego identity.
Right.
So I know from around that person that needs the light language, even though it may freak them out a little bit, it helped them, you know, in that moment.
I have to tell you, the light language thing, I, of course, grew up in church dynamic, and so I had been familiar with speaking in tongues, but it wasn't a particular faith practice of the denomination that I was raised in. But I was always around it when there would be tent revivals and things, and I remember as a child one day getting hemmed up at a tent revival where they were really pushing the kids to speak in tongues, and I remember just faking something because they weren't letting us go until we did something, and I kind of had a traumatizing pressure experience about it, what, maybe 8 years old or something like that. But one day I was watching a YouTube video, and all of a sudden the lady broke out into these words, and I said, wait a second, what just happened here? And then when I saw one of your videos leading up to the workshop, I was just blown away because you were speaking audible languages that I could hear there were differences. And then you were also speaking with your gestures and your hands, and almost like you were writing in the air these forms and figures. And so I had not seen anything like that, but I absolutely felt an energetic response in my being to what you were doing. So would you share with people about how you came to receive light language and what you understand it to be? Because I think that's an area of curiosity for many people.
Yeah. I started speaking light language a couple years ago. I think it's almost 2 years. We can all speak it. You're open up to it. Everyone can speak it. So when you're ready. Now, some people are born speaking because they haven't forgotten or haven't closed it off, you know. But for me, it was just part of my timing. Okay, so when it was time for me to start speaking it, it was part of my plan of when I would start. And it was after I had gone through this final piece of purification in my late 40s for me. Like this, it was a really deep purification and reconnecting to my Christ self, which is part of ascension, which a lot of people have not even done that yet. I want to say like 90% of the population have not done that yet. And but this was just a part of it. So this was for me, I was gifted by the Holy Ghost, gifted back the ability to speak the light language. And as I was going with it, I've developed and opened myself to my, as an open conduit to speaking multiple light languages. Like I want to say unlimited. I can speak so many because each different person or each different soul understands it differently and it comes through different for them from wherever their inception point is, I want to say, or wherever they may be from. But it comes through for me in codes like sacred geometry and tones. Sometimes I see flashings of colors. And it comes through me, and many times it's also like just those I connect with on the other side also speaking through me in the different languages. Sometimes it switches over to Incan or Mayan or any kind of native Indian. The goddesses will speak, you know, and they all come through. It comes through this way. So. And it comes through to, because I carry certain codes in me. There's those of us that do this work to shift people in their process, ascension process, to their authentic self. And with this, I know my sister Claire in England does the same thing. She doesn't speak the light language. I'm not sure if she's going to, but she does different things. But she's like my twin Sissy, and she's in England. And her and I do this where we switch, we help people in their ascension process to their authentic self. And one of the ways for me is through the light language. So I know when you came to me or when I saw you at the workshop, your higher self said to me exactly what you needed at that moment and now. And that language came forth for you. And also the hands, what I do is sometimes it is removing dark energies or energies off of you. It's also opening and releasing you from things that are still holding you back from stuff, from what I've been told. It's also like sacred geometry codes as it's coming through. And many times it'll be in front of your chakras. So it's clearing that certain chakra. And it's just a constant, it's a way of assisting you so that you can come forth in your lighter being. And removing stuff, I want to say, so removing layers from you. I've done, and I discussed earlier with you, one of the things that I do, and I will say it here on the show tonight, it's not something that I advertise, but there's been many times where I've been doing the exorcisms on people. And it's not, I don't want to jump out and do them, you know, but it just happens when I'm working with people. I remove dark energies, but the light language that comes in, it's to shift your soul, and it's to open you up and awaken you more so that you can step into your highest being, into your highest light and your highest vibration of love and joy. It's just part of the process that everyone has to go through. So just that's one of the things that, you know, I'm totally and absolutely deeply grateful for everything that I can do, because I came and I'm here as a spiritual teacher and a healer to help all the souls go forth in their ascension process. It's my reason for being here. So But termi toya arakotorne sentiana anopotore mesia. Io ko uno motore sentia. Usutro metaimo yana o onte. Iaka ana anotua miana. Usutro notoia miani in hirata sototo toia niasa toro shuntomana. Ia sekiam teata. Namaste. That was a message for everyone. And so even though you may not consciously understand it, your higher self knows exactly what I said, and it gets absorbed into you. And it's it awakens the dormant, you know, and suppressed DNA that's within the body. And we all have it. We all have this suppressed and dormant DNA. So it's just another way for me to assist with the process and get people on their way.
That is so absolutely what I have found to be true. And it's interesting because science is now showing evidence of these DNA changes and shifts and things. And it's so, you know, we talk about 3D, which it really is such a flat dynamic. We're so much more dimensionally complete than just three dimensions could encompass. And so when you're unlocking codes and keys, sound and vibration, and many people think, oh, well, that just sounds like hogwash. But you can trust and believe that marketers, advertisers, marketers and TV shows and programming are the most savvy key and code triggerers that are out there. And they're using knowledge of our energetic bodies to urge us into certain behaviors, patterns, and densities. And the converse of that is true on the elevational side, that we can purposely trigger higher activations instead of kind of allowing ourselves to be blindly triggered into lower vibrations, you know. And I know when I encountered the light language, people tend to say, wait a second, I don't know what this person is saying. But I advise people all the time, anything that you're encountering that's a teaching, feel the energy of it. And if the energy does not resonate, even if the person is sending it in highest love and light, you don't have to receive it. And you can disconnect from the video and go on to the next teacher. But if you open your energy and you feel a loving expansion inside of you, or shift, a tickle, a tremor, excitement, vibration, then it is something for you. And like you said, your conscious may not actually process it like this was this sentence, but the message will still be received, and you can still be protective of your own energetic body, you know.
Absolutely,
I think
absolutely. And I agree what you said about the media and stuff, you know, the marketing. It's all controlled.
And you said you don't watch TV. You're pretty low media except for your presences or your teaching, correct?
Right. Exactly. I don't have a TV. There's a TV in my daughter's bedroom, but there, I don't have cable or anything. It's only in there for my son's Xbox. So if they want to watch something, they have to rent a movie. I don't have TV. And everybody that has stayed here, I've had clients stay and the friends stay, and there's a difference in the home when there is no television going. You don't have that constant noise in the background, and that the tones in the TV are set at such a frequency that for me it literally hurts my body. So when I'm with Todd, when I'm at his place and his mother has the TV on, it's like I feel this, it really hurts my body. I can feel it, and it's like an itch inside. I don't know how to explain it. I can't handle it. I haven't watched TV in like maybe 6 years now. So
okay.
But at his house, the TV is on because his mother is older, and so he, you know, it's on for her. But I can't really tuning into it. Really, it's hard for me, and I listen to the radio sometimes. If it's a good vibration, I'll listen to the song, but if it's not, I turn it off. I don't like it, because they've done something also with the frequency of the music too, and especially they're really gearing it towards our kids. So
yes, absolutely.
It's not good. It is not good.
Absolutely.
But yes, I agree with that.
Lower frequencies.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with the receiving of the light language as well. Anybody, if it doesn't resonate with you, yep, you can step back. You can find somebody else. Absolutely.
Now, you mentioned earlier Kuthumi and also many other presences. When did you start, like, recognizing names? Like, you said that as a child you saw angels, you saw earth energies, trolls, and, you know, things of that nature, elemental energies. When did you really start to develop a more personalized connection? And was it with your guides or angels or a combination of both?
The angels were always around me and those from the elemental kingdom earlier, but I didn't really, it was telepathic. I mean, it was telepathic talking. Archangel Michael was always with me. When I would go to bed at night, I can feel like the warm, and sometimes I'd say blue in the room, in one corner of the room. And sometimes I would squint my eyes to look, because, you know, when you're a little kid, you're like, what's that? But I can see the colors through my eyelids. It was so powerful. And I can see the top of him and always his wings in the corner of my room. And he was always in that same area, which was diagonal from my bed. And so I always saw him. So I knew that I was so young at that point that I hadn't started, what did they call it? I think CCD or PSR or whatever it was, because I was from a Catholic family. So I didn't know which angel it was. I just knew that I felt the love. And and it was such a good feeling that I would fall right asleep after. So it was okay. When I was like probably 15 is when, and this doesn't have anything to do with the other stuff, but when I was about 15 is when the energy of my twin would come and wrap around me at night. Like it felt like he wrapped around me, and it felt like wings wrapping around me is what it felt like. And I was just that total feeling of love and protection. And I can speak with him. I was able to speak with him telepathically from that early on. And it was a huge vibration of love, heart connection that I was able to feel. So I feel like that opened me up to more to not having any kind of fear of other things that I was starting to see. But the angels were always around. There was thousands of angels all the time. Like I can see like the tips of their wings or the back of them, things like that. And sometimes it actually looked like a cloud formation in the room. There were so many. And I shared a room with my sister. So, you know, I never had no fear from them. But it wasn't until I was in my 20s and I started opening up more and telepathically speaking more to others that I wasn't sure who they were at the time. But I can tell if it was negative and if it wasn't. So the ones that were negative, I would call an Archangel Michael, boom, and ask him, you know, and it was taken away. So I wasn't able to know exactly who it was. I didn't want to tune in, let's put it that way. I didn't want to tune into that energy because I could feel the vibration of it. And even if you know that, I mean, if you feel that vibration, you feel negativity, you know to call. You need to call in your angels or your whoever you work with, your benevolence. And I tell this to everybody all the time. Make sure you use the word benevolent when you call in your angels or your guides or anything, because you can call in the wrong energy. But then in my 20s, though, I moved into a house where there was someone that had passed away, and that person would talk to me, and I would keep telling them, you have to leave. You don't live here anymore. I was tuning into the energies of people that passed in my early 20s. In my late teens, I also used to see things like I would see an Indian all the time who I actually work with now. So it was one of my guides. I didn't really understand that back then. Chief Whitefeather is what his name is. And So I've worked with him a lot now. I work with him more. And then, you know, my late 20s, I got married in my early 30s and stuff, and then I had my kids, and I kind of shut the stuff down for a little bit, for just a little bit, because I got married, and boom, the kids came right away. And by 2004, my daughter, my oldest, was 4 years old, and that's when Katumi started writing through me. And he called himself when he would sign his stuff, and it would always have a prayer at the end, and he would always sign it Koot, K-O-O-T. And I'm like, okay. So who is this Koot guy, you know? And I had met a girl out here in where I live, who I met her at a bookstore, and we were talking or something, and I was telling her about this person that was writing through me and the loving energy and stuff, and I told her the name Koot, and she goes, I think I might know what that is or who that is. And we went and she looked it up in a book about the Ascended Masters, and if you pull it up, this book, I think it's a Doreen Virtue book about the Ascended Masters, but Katumi's in there, and underneath it says under there, also known as, or, you know, like his AKAs. He's laughing right now. it'll say Katumi Lal Singh. It says Kutumi, and then it said Koot, K-O-O-T, and I'm like, oh my God. So after that, a lot more started showing up.
So for many people, the concept of Ascended Masters is something new. Would you enlighten from the perspective of working closely with Katumi and him and the whole, I guess, panel of Ascended Masters who are working with us?
Yeah, well, he's talking to me right now, and he said it's the term Ascended Masters that scare people.
Because
Ascended Masters, and he's don't kick me. He's like poking me in the back. He's saying they're like right here, you know, the veil's so thin. They're just, to me, they're just like people sitting in the room with me. So just so everybody understands the way I see them and feel their energy, just like they're another person. He just said, I am another person. it's just the fact that they left the physical body and their energy is, you know, beyond the veil, but they're still the beings. So it's the term Ascended Masters. And this is what Katumi is really big on is how in the physical body, how we use words and how words are so very important, but so very powerful. But you can also pick up negativity from words. You can also pick up fear from words. So if it's a word that hasn't been used since the beginning of time, as Ascended Masters has never been used since the beginning of time, then people fear it. But when you look back at those who are ascended, all it means is they've gone up into their highest light and their highest love vibration, into their joy. They've ascended into whom they truly are, their authentic self, their being. They've done what they came to do on the earth, and they've left the matrix through their ascension process. They just went back to whom they are in their light, their highest light and in their highest love. So he's showing me right now, he's actually showing his ascension to me. When he was Katumi Lal Singh, he ascended, he left his body. And his ascension, what he always tells me, ascension happens when you've gone into that highest love and that highest light and that highest joy vibration, those highest vibrations, and you've purified yourself. It's a huge purifying process. I mean, you've purified the soul. Then he left the body. He was young. He's showing me he was very young, he said. He's saying he was very young. So these people that have ascended, they weren't big names like Jesus is a big name and the Divine Mother. You know, they ascended. They're ascended beings. And this the term Ascended Master was not used until, I don't know how many years ago. I want to guess 60. I don't know. They're putting a 6 in front of me, 6065 or something like that. I don't know that for sure. I don't focus on that history. But Ascended Masters, there is nothing to fear from them. They are people that have lived here on the planet that ascended. They've They've left this matrix, and many of us are ascended masters that have come back to help with this ascension process for Earth and for all souls. So I want to say they're back. We're back. All of us are back. We're all mastering. All of us are.
Well, I think it's so interesting because when I first encountered the term ascended master, they're like the masters over this planet, and it did have a kind of like a negative, but I know that I've come to learn that our language is very much a hierarchical measuring, assessing way of experiencing our world. So we're always looking to see if something is higher, lower, lefter, righter, better, worse. You know, it's just kind of this human way of looking at things. And so we tend to elevate, and we've come through religious patterns that speak to elevating beyond oneself and to revering those then who do that. And one of the things that when you gave a reading for me and Kuthumi came through was that struck me was he was just like, you know, I am, because I was saying I was honored to engage with him through you, and he was like, I'm honored to engage with her through you, to you through her, you know, like I am another you, you are another me. Do not think that this is anything different than a conversation between brother and sister. And I had to kind of look at my energy that I was doing in terms of elevating or pushing to a higher level as someone who was beyond my ability to attain, but we're all on that journey of mastery, you know. And I think they're kind of like there's certain names that are the celebrity names that we know about, the Arnold Schwarzeneggers of the ascended masters, you know, the Kate Winslets, but there are many unnamed to the masses ascended beings. You know, who will never know their specific names, only the people who they're working with. They're not ones that are the rock stars that we've elevated as humanity, but they've certainly elevated their vibration, not just on this planet, but in other planetary experiences throughout all of creation. And that's what's exciting to me, you know, that it's really such a harmonious thing rather than an elevational structure of our reality.
Absolutely. And I think that everyone also needs to understand that, I know I always say that we are all that there is. We have to understand that we are the energy of all the beings. We are all that there is. Mm-hmm. It started out from so many and just kept multiplying, you know, humans and souls on the earth just kept multiplying and multiplying and reincarnating and reincarnating, you know, the same from the same soul families and the monads and stuff. We have to understand that as we reincarnate, we're coming back again, and we are... since we are a piece of source, we're that, you know, fractal piece, we're that tiny little piece of all that there is, we are a piece of the angels, we are the angels, we are these ascended masters, we are these beings, because we're all from the same soul. It's already within us, it's just that we all have to learn to tap into it and open ourselves up to it. And I know when I say this, a lot of people are like, oh, that's not possible. You can't be. Then how are they like over here and you're over there? We're all one energy. And so if we're all from source and we're all piece of the creator, the piece of poem I wrote today that came through me was about us being all from source and being co-creators. So how would we be a co-creator if we weren't a piece of the creator? So we're all part of this. We are all piece of this energy. We are energy. And we came in to learn. It's a learning planet. Earth is a teaching and learning planet. And Kuthumi just said to me, he keeps whispering in my ear. he said he's a master of mastering. He is the master of mastering, he keeps saying. Now he just whipped a whip because he's being a goofball. But that's how he is with me. he's all about joy, and he jokes around, even though he can be very tuned into the scientific and the intelligence and wisdom part of Ascension, which he was with me in the very beginning for years. And when I start working with new clients, if he comes through, he's not as joyous in the beginning working with them. He's more like trying to teach, you know, this is what you're missing and this is what you need right now. But it's when you get through a certain point in your process and you go through what people call purging, I call it purification, and releasing the layers and the darkness and shining your light. And the more you grow and the more you expand yourself, then as I work through with a client again and they come back, he starts bringing in the joy. Because what he wants to show us is that we get too consumed with being serious here because we get lost in the illusion of this earth, of this planet. We came here to be souls and to learn love and to learn about energy and to help ascend the earth. We didn't come here for the illusion and the noise and the distractions that, like, again, we'll say the media is creating, that consumerism is creating. We don't need, I said this the other day, I said, we don't need a pair of shoes that's $2,000. That's ridiculous. Just something that you want to see. This is all about, you know, because then it puts you into the ego, want thing. And so what do? You work, and you're not actually connecting with who you are. And that's how it takes you off of your path. So it's all a game. They know what they're doing. They know what they're doing out here to take us off our path. We have to know how to stay on it. Because we just said, I'm a master of mastering again.
Well, I always think of it as weapons of mass distraction. You know, if you want to get distracted by a shiny object or a shiny person or a distractive story or escapism, you're free to do that. And there's plenty of opportunities at every turn for something to say, oh, look at me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I think it's so interesting. You've talked about reincarnation, and you did mention that as a child, did you say you had an awareness of past lives even at a young age?
As a child, not for me.
Okay.
No. What did I say? Tell me to be quiet. He's always in my ear sometimes. He's really annoying. as a child,
I think
I was
you said
able
unicorns
to
and.
Yeah, I connected with the elemental kingdom a lot because I would draw it. I loved art. Art is what took me away and out of the noise of the world. I loved to paint. I loved to draw. I loved to color. I loved music. I loved to write, but I had one teacher who was really mean about my writing, and so I kind of shut it down for a long time. But now I just let it flow, and that's why I allow the writing to come through and the poetry. And my poetry and the things I write are all coded, just so people know. They're coded to awaken people. So when you read the stuff that I write, it's not just because it's a beautiful poem for a lover or a loved one or whatever. It's coded to awaken it. The stuff comes through for this ascension process. So there is poems that I write for the person I love in my life, yes, but it also is coded as well. Maybe it's coded for him to come in spot a little.
Well, you know, I've read some of your works and definitely have been shifted as well. In the midst of reading a sentence or one of the little paragraphs, it's like, wow, okay, you know, I'm recognizing as I grow in my own walk the symptoms of a spiritual shift or resonance that has changed me from something I've experienced. And I did watch your video from your Facebook Live, was it yesterday, I think? You had a transmission that came through. You were delivering a light language encoded healing and shift for people. And then you were providing readings just on the fly, I guess, for the people who were engaging with you. Now, how can people find you on Facebook and out in the world?
Oh, and Facebook, it's just my name, Kalina Melnar, and I have a page, Kalina Melnar Sacred Heart Ascension page as well on there, so they can go to that. I'm trying to push towards the page because they only allow you that limited amount of friends, and you don't see all the stuff as you would if you went to the page instead. Or they can go to my website, that as well as my name, Kalina Melnar, www.kalinamelnar.com, and my YouTube is the same. Everything is my name. It's just, Katumi actually helped me set everything up. He's always just like, use your name. So I was like, okay, so I use my name. Because I am not a techie person. And Debbie can tell you that. I'm like, Deb.
Yes.
I am not.
Well,
I have
I
Instagram
know that,
as well, but.
Yes, and that's Kalina Loves on that, and that's K-E-L-E-E-N-A. Last name is spelled M-A-L-N-A-R, so KalinaMalner.com, and also on Facebook, and then Kalina Loves on Instagram. And I have to say I follow you on all of those channels. I haven't been keeping up with your YouTube things as much, but I did tap into yesterday's. And so as you're in your mission now and from day to day, what does a day in the life of Kalina look like?
It's different every day. I totally live in the moment. So, you know, I live from my heart, but there's times when I have to bring myself down to earth a little bit, when I have to deal with certain people in my life that are not going through the process yet. But then I just have to take myself back up. But my daily stuff that I do is I do fall into meditation. I have an altar here, like a crystal altar, that where I light my candles and I go, boom, immediately into meditation. I don't have to sit and do the breathing, everything. It's just like automatic for me now. And I speak with those on the other side, and I thank them every day, and I tell them that I'm grateful for everything that I'm supposed to, for everything that I'm here to be, see, do, and know on this journey. And I thank them for their assistance every day. And I'm usually like in the morning with them for about 30, 35 minutes. And throughout the day, I will go back to the altar when I feel that I need to get my vibes like back up in case I've had to deal with someone. I do my online Skype sessions throughout the day. My healing, even my quantum energy healing, is done through Skype because I can do it long distance healing. Throughout the day, I'm just feeling, I'm like writing. I do a lot of writing as well, but then stuff that I haven't even posted because I've got a lot coming through me lately that I have not put out there. But, and then I'm constantly guided. I'm speaking with those on the other side constantly. And I do a lot of work outside of my body. So in the ethers, I do a lot of work. I will, during the day, you know, leave my body and do what I'm called to do in the astrals, I guess you can call it, or I call it the ethers within the astrals, because we can do that. We have the ability to do that. It's if you don't know how to do it yet, it's something that you can do. I'm not sure if I'm going to be teaching that or what. I've got so much coming forward for me that I'm going to be starting to do with my sister Claire from England. Her and I are going to be getting together and doing workshops here in the United States and in England. So that's coming. Everything's coming together right now because her and I are both here to assist with the ascension process to push people into their authentic self, because that's where you ascend. That's when you start ascending. And we've got to get out of that false identity ego and move into that sacred heart. That's where the ascension occurs. So, but that's my
now,
daily life.
Would you say that we are in a more unique or different place than we have been before? Or is it kind of business as usual, say, this last year?
This last year, I would like to say, is elevated, much more elevated than it's been. The energies that have come through, shifting persons. We've had waves of light codes and all the solar flares that are happening. All of these things that are happening in the universe are happening to shift Mother Earth. But as Mother Earth shifts, we have to shift as well. The physical body has to shift. So I want to say that right now, everybody has been shifted. And everybody that I've seen from when we had the solar eclipse, that was one of the things that was fantastic. That's why I was in Atlanta when I met you.
What a weekend.
I was there to help open the portals for the Christ consciousness energy to come in the path of totality. So there was a lot of us that did that. Those are some of the things that I do, like in a day in the life of me. So if you were asking before, I also heal land when I travel. But with all of this stuff coming in and all these portals opening and all of these changes in energy, and they're shifting the consciousness of the earth, but they're shifting us as well. And every single person has had their heart touched now, every single soul. So whether it's cracked wide open or not is it depends on where you're at in your progress of your ascension, because some people are just starting to awaken. This year was a big shift.
I definitely agree, and I'm excited about the final pushes that are going to be coming through the rest of this year, through the 12/12 and the solstice, and then into the 2018, 11 year. That's really exciting, and I definitely have experienced a significant expansions myself in my connections to spirit and source and the divine, and my shifts in my light body that I felt for sure. The solar eclipse, that was just an evidence for me of the perfect way that things will line up synchronistically, because it was like I saw your post and I was getting ready to have a show on Twin Flames, and I had just started seeing your name everywhere out on YouTube. So I was like, wow, okay. And then you all were like, guess what, we'll be in town for the eclipse and we're going to do a workshop. We could love to be on the show. So it happened like boom, 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 boom. And then I felt like we've known each other for lifetimes, both you and Deb. And there were, like, I think probably 9 women at the workshop that you facilitated. And we haven't talked much about the twin flame aspect of your healing work and your experience. And I know we have a lot of listeners from the various communities who are tuned in, because they're very much keyed into the whole twin flame news. And so you mentioned that when you were a teenager, you started to be aware of a presence of your twin and with wings. Now, I would assume that back then you did not have a word to conceptualize, like twin flame is rather a newer terminology. As I understand it, how did you know it wasn't an angel, or it was a part angel, or like, how did you even put it
into your mental space? I don't want to say it's strange, but to the human mind, it's strange. When I was younger, before in the teenage years, I would always see a boy like my age every time, I would see someone my age, but I would feel this great love from him. And he had the dark hair and he had light eyes, like brown hair and light eyes. And I always would see him. And as I age, he would age and he'd come back progressively. But by the time I was like 15 is when he started coming at night, and I could feel the energy of him many times, like just behind me, but I can feel warmth. And I could feel him like like hug me from behind. And when I would go to sleep at night and I would start to lay down, I would start to like fall into that, you know, where you start like losing consciousness. Then I would just feel him come in and like wrap right behind me. And it was never at that age, there was nothing sexual. It was love. It was pure love. It was heart connection. It was that vibration back and forth. And it was just the energy was, it was so, it was such a beautiful energy. And who do you talk about that when you're 15 and you feel like there's someone in your bed? You know, you just don't talk about that. And I was never scared because his energy was a lot like Archangel Michael's was when Archangel Michael was always in the room. So it was that same thing. It was the warmth. It wasn't the same vibration. It was close, but it was always that love. You would feel the love. And it would like, I could feel the energy of the love like wrapping around me and just circling me all night. I'm like a funnel. And so it felt protected, I guess I want to say. But and I still have that now every night.
Now, when did you like get the concept or like start to understand the divine love journey or the twin flame journey? Was this something then through your like the decade of your 20s or your 30s or 40s? Because I know you have a huge teaching and client base now that is very much keyed into that topic. But I think there's been an uptick since, what, 2014 especially, of people coming into awareness of twin flame as a way to label or describe this experience. When did that knowledge come down for you?
Well, when I started speaking with Kutumi more in the 2000s, in the later 2000s, let me see. I don't know the exact like time period, but I always knew that it was a sacred love. And because I didn't feel it with the physical, other physical people around me, I guess I want to say, it was so unconditional and so pure that I did not feel that with anyone, not even my parents, which, you know, you're supposed to feel the unconditional love from them. But it was, this was so pure, you can't even describe it. I can't even describe it. And there was no animosity with this love, and I want to say there really hasn't ever been. It's been a different experience for me than it has been for a lot of others that I see go through this. But I also want to say that this is all about union. A lot of people that are going through this twin flame stuff, this is about union within yourself first. So there's I've been writing some stuff about this, and I'm going to be bringing it out soon, because there's this whole year of number one year has been about union, but there's been some misconceptions about it. So I've got a whole lot of information that I've been downloading, and I've been writing about it for the last few days. I'm going to bring it up. I'm going to be posting it.
Oh, excellent.
But for me, it's I think when Debbie and I actually started talking, more of it came for, because my poetry, my coded poetry and the love poetry and things, that's how she found me on Facebook. And she friended me, and she liked some of the things I wrote. So she had, I can't remember if she put me in her group or some of the Twin Flame groups or whatever. But I understood talking to Kutumi, you know, what some of the stuff was. And then he would talk through me to Debbie. He would talk through me to her to bring some of the information through on the twin flame stuff. But I also have an elder on the other side, a twin flame elder that I've worked with as well. So it's, you know, now, probably the late, probably, I don't know, mid-2000s when this stuff was coming through. So. But never the term
now,
twin flame.
Right. Right. in your show, when you and Deb came on, we had really an excellent conversation about just what it is and what it kind of isn't to be in the journey to sacred union or divine love, or if you want to call it twin flame, or, you know. So I would definitely encourage everyone, you can find a link to that episode on the Vibra YouTube channel, and you can also look for the Vibrations of Love Radio episodes that you and Deb have recorded on your YouTube, on that YouTube channel as well. And you can really get into some in-depth teachings that you all have delivered about coming into love with yourself and coming into unity in your own masculine and femininity, your own divinity, and then coming into a dynamic of harmonious partnership with someone else who has also done that same thing. And I definitely encourage people to reach out. And if you have trouble finding the links, you can find them, again, through my Facebook or Kalina's Facebook, through her website, and certainly by searching on YouTube for the topic Twin Flames and Kalina Malnar. I highly advise it because it seems like it's the hottest topic of the day. You can find thousands of YouTube channels, people who are delivering teachings, some from their experience, some from not their personal experience, but from other aspects. And, you know, one thing that I have seen recently is I've seen people posting that they feel that if you are seeking a reading from someone, that person should be a twin flame if you are a twin flame, and that only twin flames can give spiritual readings to other twin flames. And I would love to know your opinion on that before I share what my opinion was on that. Because
well,
you are a twin
I'm
flame
laughing.
And you do but you do provide twin flame readings and you are a twin flame, but do you think that only someone such as yourself is qualified to give spiritual guidance?
As far as like readings, I guess I see them differently. Like when I work in sessions with twin flames, I do healing most of all first.
Mm-hmm.
The healing
mm-hmm.
comes through in the light language to open them up, because it's not just about a twin flame. It's about your ascension process. So their higher self connects with me first, and healing
mm-hmm.
comes through first. And opening their chakras and clearing their chakras and balancing them, and all of this stuff comes through when I touch on their different blockages or energy blocks. That's a lot of times why they can't be with their twin flame, because they've got these blocks. So my work is totally different than just doing like a reading, because I know there's people out there
mm-hmm.
that do readings where they'll just read cards, and I don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
I actually tune into their energy. I read all of their bodies, you know, the mental, the physical, the emotional, the spiritual. I read all of that energy. I connect with the higher self. And then I guide them in their process of where they're at that moment, at that very
mm-hmm.
moment, whatever needs to come through to propel them forward in their journey. It's about opening to your authentic self more than anything so that you can get through this ascension process. It's
mm-hmm.
when the twins meet, it's that, I call it the ignition key to their
mm-hmm.
enlightenment, to their awakening. It's like putting the key in the ignition and turning it. When you meet your flame, your twin flame, it's that's when starts the awakening process for most of the people that started in 2012 that met their twins. Then it was
mm-hmm.
their part of their awakening. It's when they planned it. And I want to say some of them also were not twins. They're catalytic hard awakenings as well, like Deb, you know, Deb was talking about this. It's not always a twin. But
mm-hmm.
some people get caught up in this, all this media hype about twins, and they all think that it is a twin, and a lot of times it could just be a soulmate or someone that you contracted with to help you awaken you. So you have to be
mm-hmm.
very careful about that. But anybody can do any kind of a reading with cards for people when it comes to and what's going on in their life, and for twins as well. I don't feel that you have to be a twin to do a twin reading.
Mm-hmm.
I don't agree with that. And I actually
mm-hmm.
have the I'm getting the yes, from everybody that's here in the room, it does not matter, because we are all bringing through the correct information if we are connected correctly mm-hmm. with Source. It's those
right.
that are not connected. It's those that are false prophets that are misleading people. And I've talked about that
mm-hmm.
many times. There are some
mm-hmm.
out there claiming to be the reincarnation of Jesus and Mary, and saying that they're the twin flames and that they've written this book, and they're telling people, you have to buy our book because Jesus and Mary are telling you you have to buy our book because we are the twin flames.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen these people. I don't know who they are, but I've been told about it many times. And all I have to say about that,
mm-hmm.
Katumi's laughing right now, is Jesus and Mary would never push you to buy anything. Never.
Right.
Katie is laughing right now while he's peeling a banana. And he's standing here and he's thumping his foot on the ground. So he's shaking his head. He's just like, oh. You know, he's saying if people believe that, they're still stuck in ego and they're so brainwashed.
Right.
So thank you, Katie.
Right.
He's laughing right now. He's just laughing. But I don't know who they're talking about. I've had a lot of people tell me that. So, you know,
mm-hmm.
be careful who you go to. Make sure they're authentic. Read testimonials, because testimonials
right.
are really important. I have a lot of testimonials that I haven't even put on my website yet because I just haven't had the time.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
read people's testimonials, you know, and see what they say, because there's some false people out there that are going to lead people in the wrong direction. But to answer your question,
absolutely.
I believe anyone can do everything. Yeah.
Well, you know, my thought was that if you're connecting to spirit and source, then
mm-hmm.
the labels that we use are truly such human things. And so if the person
mm-hmm.
is a neutral conduit, their personal knowledge does not exceed that of spiritual awareness, for one. So, you know, why would the spirit not be delivering a valid message to you just because the person who's delivering it is not a twin flame? It just didn't make sense to me.
Exactly.
And, you know,
exactly.
I got into a couple engaging dialogues about it, but I certainly understand that if someone gives you any service, a car wash, a cake you don't like the flavor, you know, if it doesn't resonate with you, take what you need and feel free to walk away. That does not mean that the person is necessarily a false prophet, but it just was not necessarily an interaction for you to receive. And that
right.
is purely okay. And
right.
it's not a statement against the person who's providing the healing service. You know, some people are clearly charlatans, and everybody will eventually get a little resonance about that. But other people, it just wasn't for you to be able to receive from them, you know. And
right.
I just try to get people to stop applying labels so much, to say, well, I'm a twin flame, you're not. I'm ascended, you're not. I'm connected. You know, it's all this kind of ego positioning. You know, that
everybody
people get into. Exactly. Oh, you're so low vibration. You know, but part of that is that whole ego dynamic that we get into. You know, but
yeah.
Now, your workshops that you have led, I know you just completed one in Akron. In addition to the Twin Flame workshop, what other kind of group things do you facilitate? And also, if you would share a little bit about what your Twin Flame specific workshop is also about.
Well, the Twin Flame, the one that Debbie and I just did was the Twin Flame workshop. It was also an Ascension workshop. And so it was for anyone that is a twin flame to participate. It was for any path. We just happen to both
mm-hmm.
be twin flames, so we understand the process and going through it. So we are able to help others to understand what they are experiencing in the moment and at, like,
mm-hmm.
where they're at and what level they're at in their journey or on their journey. But also during
mm-hmm.
the workshop, I do a lot of healing work on everyone. If you have dark energies, I will be pulling them off of you. There's a lot of light language to come through to shift everyone that
mm-hmm.
is there for the moment. If now, whatever light codes need to come through, whatever key codes that I carry. And I actually prepare my body physically for about a week before I do a workshop. It takes a lot out of me with all of the physical work that I do as a quantum energy healer and the light language and everything. So there's also, I do a lot of goddess stuff where I do initiation. I also do the baptisms with rose oil. These are things that I have done in past life. So I still do it now because it just comes through me because I'm so connected to who I've been, but also to other goddesses. So this stuff just comes through. I know for Claire and I, our workshop, we're actually planning one in Sedona. It's going to be like a three-day workshop. Yeah, and it's going to be a mind, body, spirit. It's going to do light language. She does drumming. She's very connected, you know, earthly and with drumming and stuff. She does a lot of things differently than I do, but we both are here to do the same thing, and we both have a lot of the same abilities, and we've come together in so many lifetimes at the same, you know, time. So to be back together again, just on different countries, it's kind of like, darn it. But she looks like the day because she's blonde, blue-eyed, and I look like the night because I have the dark hair and the dark eyes. So to me, he just said we're like vanilla and chocolate. He's so funny. We are. So we're going to be doing that workshop, but it's going to be different. Thank you, Katumi. He's reminding me that with our workshop, what we do is we bring people into their authentic self and help them on that path, finding their authentic self, tuning them into things. There's going to be a lot of different things that we will be doing, goddess stuff, ascension stuff, purification. I will help. One of the things I do is if I touch you, you're going to go through purification and purging stuff. That's one of the abilities that I have. But also the end result is your freedom. And that's what Claire and I both came in this lifetime is to help people find their freedom. So our workshops are going to be about freedom and freeing your soul and freeing yourself out of this matrix. We're also looking at possibly doing one in Mount Shasta. So we're trying to get all of that stuff taken care of. And I will be going to England. Yeah.
You're hitting some hot spots there.
I'll be going to England and we'll be doing some stuff there. So we're right now trying to hash out, you know, the details and the places and the events where we want to have the events. And it's just been a lot of, for her and I, we're so like high sometimes. It's harder for us to like figure out those things. I'm like, I think we need
ground.
Yeah. I'm just like, okay, an events coordinator would be great, but right now we may have to take it out in energy exchanges.
Oh, right.
So we'll see.
Well, they say in church, they say something about you're so heavenly bound, you're no earthly good, or something, yeah. You know, when your head's in the clouds. I wanted to let you know that one of our listeners, she wanted to pass along. She's in the chat room this evening. Her name is Cindy, and she is Debbie D's friend. She wanted to let you know she's listening from Sedona,
Cindy.
That she has not made it to France yet to be with Francois, but she is looking forward to you coming in Sedona and wants to know if you have a time frame for when you'll be there. And she said she knows a wonderful vortex that is kind of off the beaten path that she would love to share with you.
Wow.
So I just wanted to
Fantastic. Thank
you, Cindy, for listening.
Yes, thank you, Cindy. I know who Cindy is. She is so sweet. She is a twin. We're looking at April right now, actually, because we have to coordinate it. She's got younger kids, so we're looking at coordinating, and April is what we're looking at for Sedona at the moment. We've got a few venues that we are looking at. It's just about getting the date. So, yes. And
I will definitely be paying attention to myself.
I'm definitely going to put that because my best friend, we call ourselves Snowma and Louise. We're always looking for cliffs to drive off, but Sedona has been in our bucket list for quite some time. So that now we will have an more of an excuse to go ahead and do it.
Awesome. I can't wait. I've been called to go to Sedona for a long time in Mount Shasta, and it's just all in divine planning and perfect time. And Claire and I met or found each other a few years ago again. So it's just, it was just a matter of her having to get through some things and me finishing some things on my journey so that we are both ready to do this. And we're ready. So here we go. Okay, I have some light language coming through, if that's okay for everyone that's listening. I'm just going to let it flow, and it's going to, it's transferred high heart to high heart, and it is always benevolent. Yo son termenea anatoya nasakara to shiteratea motara ukuto arkutore masetera masutora botoya nene kianta torokutut nene santatea nene kinna ya tomo ototoa se sentia rosho moyana uko tarayana akia utome yana seta chotoroma. Okay, I mean, they're telling me there's going to be tones coming through.
Okay.
I have to stand up, they're telling me. 1 second, let me get up. Ukodea isn't there. Na any adota taya mata. Okay. Puyaka.
Odo ementea. Urayan na hona mana. Yasutaronto inini. Kihana onokota ina sente siento toa ya santona botoya ne kia para ana o. Haya hona e kapa. O pone ya men hisi torom toya ne kia tataya tora toa ya ne akoto ina me sente ne sina oro ona motoya. Oro, 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 uno mo. Hoya no koa. Ta kian to roto to mea nene, si te rosho to rome na. Ito uri me kiena ono koa antea. Petena ono ono to ese tea. Pa ane ine yente eno chushota. Peane ono o. Yana ona. Meane kiata. No meane kokoro to tanamete ne setere ne yano. Uroshon to tanamete ne yakato na toa. Yana anshuto no matae miyana kotoro sento da yana yasa tare me kina. Aya anato. Toa kiyata. No miyana santa. Nishanda miyana sumanea. Anama. 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 Namaste.
Mm.
Oh, okay.
I'm allowed to sit now.
Namaste. Namaste.
While the tones were coming through, they literally showed me like a skeleton key going in and unlocking. So I know that was unlocking key code. Wow.
I definitely could feel in the high heart area. That's where I tend to feel my own channel when it's open. And I definitely felt that. And I'm grateful for the receiving of that code through you this evening on the show.
Oh, wonderful.
I just feel like I have to just breathe it out.
You may be shifting, just so you know. Anybody listening?
Hey, I stay buckled up and ready. You know, I'm ready for it any moment. This is a rapid elevator. I push the button and go up any time.
Love that. You know, when I tell people, I'm like, don't look at purging or purification as something that's negative. Because they're always like, oh, no. Because it's actually bringing you to your higher light. You're letting things go. You're releasing things. And it's a good thing. It's a positive thing. So we have to be from the other side. I'm just the conduit. I bring it through me. So, and well, I don't sing. So when I hit those notes, it kind of surprises me.
Those that throat chakra is wide open.
Yeah.
You know,
it's
funny when you talk about purging, you know, nobody likes to have to stay on the toilet for either being vomiting or otherwise. And nobody, you know, sometimes you don't really like to cry, but you can best believe if your body has decided that something needs to exit it, you have to honor that and not fight it. You know what I'm saying? Go ahead and, you know, anybody who's ever had too much to drink knows sometimes you just have to make yourself get rid of the alcohol that's in your stomach in order to start feeling better. And emotional and energetic purging can be somewhat unpleasant too, but sometimes there's nothing to do. You just got to go through it. You can't, you know, hold it in because then you'll make yourself sicker, you know.
Right, exactly. You have to let it go. You've got to release it and let it go. And I like how, and Katumi just showed me, he said, you know, it's just having too much chocolate syrup when you were supposed to be having water.
Oh, he was talking to me.
I didn't know that. He literally has a bottle of chocolate syrup and he's squeezing it in a cup and he's throwing the water that's empty.
Oh, he's talking to me. Okay. Because chocolate syrup is one of my favorite little things, and I know I could always use more water. So, no, that is wonderful.
Water does. Water is huge for purification of the physical body. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're into the last few minutes of the show here, and I just really have enjoyed this conversation. Is there anything that you would like to share about, you know, who you are as a way to kind of conclude our journey through your life?
Who I am? I'm just me. I am all.
Or... Absolutely. Well, I think that everyone can sense your loving energy. It exudes on your face when you see it in person and in pictures. It also, you often have orbs and light beings around you outdoors, especially when you're in nature. You're just surrounded by this glow. And, you know, I just am admiring of your being a loving way shower for myself and others, and for putting yourself on the front line and honoring your call into service action for the elevation of humanity. you know, I'll say thank you on behalf of the collective.
And I say thank you because you're doing what you were called to do. So I honor you as well.
Ah, namaste, right?
Namaste.
Well, if anyone needs to get in contact with you again, you can reach out and connect with Kalina on her Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube channel. I highly encourage you to connect on the Facebook because there's all kinds of little live videos that come up on a spur of the moment as Spirit leads, and you'll want to set your notifications on Facebook when you get to the page. Sometimes Facebook likes to suppress us because they want us to pay for ad revenue. So anytime you like a page that you want to see all the time, make sure you go up to the top and click see this first. And you can choose as many things as you want to see first. But what it'll do is put those posts in your feed so that you can clear them out before you start scrolling through the other things that Facebook thinks that you might like to see. That way you can stay caught up on all of the pages like mine and Kalina's, where we're trying to really put out positive stuff at the front of your feed before you get into all the political drama and angry ranting and raving and gossip posts. You know, go ahead and put us at the top of your queue. And I highly encourage you to sign up for a workshop with Kalina or a healing session, quantum healing. Do some work with her because I think she's quite amazing. And Kalina, I just thank you for coming on to share your light this evening. And I do hope to have you back on for one of my Thursday shows. You know, it's a topical show every Thursday on the Vibrarian Show. We've talked about astral projection, Akashic records, dream symbols, divination, the moon, and of course, twin flames. And I am going to be having an episode on past lives and reincarnation coming up very soon, probably after the first of the year. And I would love for you to come back on as one of the panelists because you have extensive knowledge of past incarnations and you brought forth a lot of wisdom from that space. And so I would definitely have a standing invitation for you to join me anytime to talk about anything that you wish.
Thank you. I accept your invitation. I love your energy, so likewise. And I do want to say, though, really quick, is that I have already been guided this afternoon to go live tomorrow on Facebook. So there's some more codes coming through, and I'll probably pull cards for everyone. It's just, I don't do it unless I'm guided. I don't plan the live stuff. It's just like, they tell me when to do it, and I'm like, okay, here I go. That way I don't think about it, I think, because I just live in
the right. Isn't that a beautiful space to be in, though?
Yeah. It's the best space to
be in. There's joy in every moment when you dwell in that now instance, you know, and I think that's part of the innocence that shows through your countenance and your demeanor is that, you know, you have this air of joy and look at this beautiful world that's right here, right at this moment, kind of innocence about yourself. So.
And if we don't take the time to look at it, we let it pass by.
Right. And then our whole incarnation, and we're looking down from the spirit realm thinking, dang, I wish I was a human again.
No.
I know, right? I don't think you're the only incarnated being who feels that way, you know, for sure. It's an experience. It's definitely Earth school, you know. So
yes,
this has been the Psychic Inside Show, and my name is Joelle. I'm the Vibrarian, and I've had a wonderful conversation this evening with Kalina Malmar of Sacred Heart Extension. And I thank you, Kalina, and for all of those who tuned in this evening and listened on the phone lines and in the chat rooms, I thank you for that.
This episode, you may be listening to it then later on iTunes, where you can subscribe to the Vibray Radio Network to get it on your iPad or iPhone and listen to in the commute in the morning or the evening. And also, this episode will be posted to the Vibray YouTube channel in just about a week or so. So it will be available for you. And anytime that you hear it, anytime that you receive the light language codes that were delivered, it is, time is a human construct. So whenever you listen to this and hear the sound of Kalina's voice and my voice, it is the right time for you to have received it. And so from now until the next time we talk again, I wish you all the blessings that you can possibly hold until they spill out from your life into the lives of others around you and thus spread the spark. I honor the light in each of you. Namaste.
Namaste.